We'll begin. On this official day, as far as the calendar goes, and certain events of the past, on this official day of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, let's focus on the biblical word righteousness. Does that word puzzle you? Does it frighten you? We are talking about the righteousness of God, after all, which used to scare Martin Luther at one point because he saw it as God having to punish him for his sins. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, used to think that he could achieve this righteousness by keeping the law of Moses. Both men, very influential as far as we're concerned, very influential men, were sadly mistaken. But God led them both to view his righteousness as a gospel thing, a good news event, a great gift coming from his grace. And so should we. But first, let's consider the fact that righteousness, the biblical kind, is the exact opposite of sin. Sin happens when people break God's commandments. Righteousness happens only if people manage to keep those commandments. Now, here's something you need to remember about righteousness as it applies to you. God expects you to have it. Perfect righteousness as your record with Him, which, when you break it down to the details, means every commandment kept. No sin charged against you. Not even one. But we know from experience that is not how we live. Not even for a day. We need to hear the bad news about this. The reality of our situation when Jesus is not in the picture. Galatians 3 has some very strong language. It's in the first word. Cursed. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Basically, God is telling you and me that we need to be as holy as He is, perfect, or we face the consequences, the curse of death and hell. We can't resent God for saying that. That's the way holiness is. That's the way it sounds. God is going to be true to His holy nature and true to some very high standards of justice, which does put you and me in a very hopeless spot. This requirement of our righteousness is utterly beyond us. And the curse of our sin would consume us. Our only hope, which is a very great part of our Reformation heritage, our only hope is the good news of Jesus stepping forth as the substitute righteousness God promised. In a football game, the NFL on Sundays, we see substitutes coming in, one player taking the place of another. But if you read the statistics, the details of the game the next day, you're not going to see this player getting credit for that player's touchdowns, nor would you see this player getting the blame for that player's turnovers or penalties. It doesn't work that way, which makes the Lord's plan of substitution quite remarkable by design. The design of the gospel itself. Jesus did all the right things. And we get credit for it. Or to flip this around from the negative point of view, we commit all those sins against God, and Jesus took the blame for it. As a direct result, there is a wonderful turn of events for you and me. Jesus supplying for us what God expects of us. The Bible calls it righteousness. In 2 Corinthians, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Philippians 3 works the same way, Paul talking about himself. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Let's think of such passages when facing the tough questions like this one. Am I acceptable in God's sight? Will you pass on judgment day? Do you and I qualify for eternal life according to those very high standards? By the way, it's the kind of examination where you need 100% in every category, the ultimate A+, in order to pass. Thankfully, God has granted to us what Jesus has earned for us. In the great book of heaven, the A+ of Christ has replaced every one of our spiritual F's and incompletes. This is very good news for that final moment, our last day on earth, as well as every day up until then. This gift of God's righteousness is meant to help you now. For starters, it is the only solution to the pangs of a guilty conscience, the only way to alleviate shame and disgrace. This free gift of perfect righteousness is like a key to unlock God's door and gain direct access to all of His blessings. With the perfect righteousness of Christ covering you, when you pray, God hears the prayer as if Jesus Himself was saying it. And for that reason, He gives you what you need according to His wisdom. This gift of righteousness has changed your identity and raised your status. Because of it, you and I continue to be God's adopted children, whose ugly past of sin is not in the picture. It's forgotten. Whose turbulent present in this world is always in His capable hands. Whose uncertain future is not uncertain at all, because the glory of heaven is our inheritance. Let's join the ranks of the Apostle Paul and the Apostolic Church. Let's join the ranks of Martin Luther and the Reformation Church in thanking Jesus. We owe it all to Him. Our righteousness from God and our life with God now and forever. Amen. We close our worship this morning singing hymn 380, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Stanzas 1, 3, 5 of hymn 380.